Linda's right. Okay, I know you did it right there. It's like I told you so.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's open up with prayer this morning. Oh, Father, Lord God, I just pray that you lead us this morning. Lord, and we just pray, Father, that just help us just to enter your presence, Father. Help us to lay everything down, Lord, and any worries or burdens or just anything to distract us right now, Father. Help us just to focus on praising you, Lord, and just get our hearts right before you, Father. Help us to get our hearts right before you, Lord. Yes. We have to do that. We lay these things down, Lord. Trials, Lord, because we know that through these trials, Lord God, It can produce fruit, Father, and it can teach us that in the future that we've gotten over these hurdles with your help before, Lord God, and anything that comes to us in the future, Lord, we know we can get through that as well. Help us to learn, Father. Help us to learn through these trials, Lord. Whether it be small or big, Father, help us to keep going, Father, and keep our eyes focused on you. As David stood before Goliath, he didn't say, I'm so little, I can't do this. This guy's huge, he's a giant. He trusted in his God. He knew that God was the deliverer. Help us to be that way, Lord God. Help us to have that faith. Lots of joy and everything's going great, and that's awesome, and we praise the Lord for that. And some of us might be going through a time of sorrow and a time of somewhat persecution or just being down or just questioning things. And we can praise the Lord in that too, because during those times We are asking for the Lord to show us things. We're saying, Lord, explain this to me. Help me with this, Father. I don't understand. Help me get through this. Help me learn through this. I pray, Father, that we don't have to go into despair, Father, but that we're ready to learn, Lord God. And we know that, Lord, when we do cry out to you, Father, you are there for us to comfort us and to teach us, Lord. Soft word or with love or with a rebuke, Lord God. I love hearing your answer, Father. I love to know that you're with me, Lord. And when we say, in my life be lifted high, in our world be lifted high, and in our love, Lord God, I want your name to be lifted high in this world. And I know that I can do that by following you and by showing people you by my love, Lord God. I know that it starts with us, with going out there and sharing, Father. Help us to be a testimony in everything we do, Lord. I go to the grocery store probably about 20 times a day because I always forget something. And while I'm there, I always think, who can I share with? Who can I talk to? You know, when I have my kids with me, you know, am I being that testimony? And I pray, Father, that whether we're grocery shopping or at work, Lord God, whether we're going for a walk, Lord, or just anywhere, Father, I pray that we know that we're a testimony of you, Father. And I know that's easier said than done, especially if we're having a bad day. But, Lord God, you can know. You can still shine your light through that, Father, if we can have that self-control, yes, Father, that you give us, Lord. There's a theme to these songs about crying out to the Lord, and it goes with tomorrow's though.
Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord. I just feel like we're supposed to have just a little time of prayer, Lord. And Lord, I don't know, hopefully everybody can hear me without the mic, but I felt like the Lord was just giving a word as we were worshiping. And so let's just sit quietly or stand, whatever you prefer. Just keep in a worshipful, prayerful mind. Just take a minute and let's pray. There are folks around us, maybe it's you, that are hurting. There are folks around us that need prayer. There are folks in our body without Lord that need prayer. And sometimes we get scared to pray out loud, but we shouldn't be. And the Lord gives us this word in Psalm 77, verse 19. That your path led through the sea and your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. And sometimes as we're going through that sea, we're going through that mighty waters and that, you know, and we can't see those footprints and we can't, but Lord, you are there with us. You say, never will you leave us. Never will you forsake us. And that means never. Lord, if there are some right now that are going through condemnation or just feel like their hearts are in pieces, Lord God, that just feels like that they are being just squeezed from every side, Lord God, I pray that they would hear your word, Lord, this morning in Psalm 34, verse 18, that says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're here today and you've got that smile on, but you're crushed in spirit and you're brokenhearted, remember today that the Lord is with you, that he's close to you, that he loves you, that he is right there with you, even though you can't see those footprints as you're crossing that sea and those mighty waters. He is with you. He is before you. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to remember that a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Amen. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. And the Lord redeems his servants. And listen, for you who are feeling condemned and condemnation today from the enemy, remember this, that the Lord redeems his servants and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you just bring to mind, Lord God, if there's anyone here, Lord, that wants to pray for someone, would you bring that person, even a little picture of their face, Lord God, to mind, or that situation to mind, Lord, right now, Lord God, as we just pray for the next minute or two, Lord, or a few minutes, however long it takes, Lord God. Would you bring it to mind who we need to pray for? And then will you just help us to step forward in faith and stop thinking about ourselves or what people are going to think? We don't have the right words. Who cares? We'll just cry out to you in faith, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just offer this time to you of prayer, Lord God. Put that person or that situation in front of our face, Lord, and help us to pray for that right now. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, you said that where two or more are gathered together, there you will be also. Oh, Father God, I just woke up this morning, Lord, and I didn't want to come. I didn't want to be. I didn't want to get out of that warm bed, Lord. I didn't want to just, you know, put myself out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay there and just wallow in it, God. Lord, thoughts of you came to my mind. And how much I love you.
Thank you.
And I know that I need to be just one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. So, God, I'm just so thankful that I just fought that off, God. And the devil is always there to sidetrack us any kind of way, just the smallest little things, God. And, Lord, maybe be strengthened, Lord, through your word,
yes.
Lord, and through praise and our friends, God, and our that we can reach out to, Lord, to conquer these things, to help us get through it, and to bring us back to our senses, God, about you. Lord, I love you, Lord, and I'm just thank God today to be here.
Lord God, you are in the midst of us, Lord, and you are in us, Lord, and I believe that you want to answer prayer through us, Lord God. So I pray that if there are needs in this church, Lord, that we can meet, that you would give courage to those who have those needs to speak out, Lord God, so that we can step up to the plate, Lord God. Yes. And help, Lord God. Help us to be that kind of church,
yes.
Lord. That kind of family.
Yes.
That is there for one another, Lord. And help us to be able to speak freely knowing that we're loved, Lord God, whatever the circumstances.
Yes.
To reach out, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just wanted to speak, and I wanted to lift up Anthony and all those kids out there, Nicole,
yes,
waking up. And
yes,
just wanted to give old Anthony there give him some wisdom, give him some strength. I know he's out of his comfort zone. He shared with me that before he left, and just wanted to lift him up to the Lord, and give him the patience and
yes,
the kindness. And
yes.
Just be there with them all. Give him the warmth of your love.
Yes.
Just want to pray for Brian as well.
Yes.
I know you've. I hope you're showing him only what you know how to show him, and no matter how tough it may be, just, may your will be done.
Amen.
Just want to thank the body here, Lord, for just everybody who I know now and who I love, and pray for our pastor, Lord, and all the just craziness he has to deal with through all of us, and ask you to give him the wisdom and the word. And yeah, I don't pray too much, Lord, so I just ask that you give me a little strength too, as far as that goes. And help all of our walks, Lord. We're out there in the craziness and the bitterness of other human beings around us, and sometimes we can't even understand what people are saying,
because
of languages and all that good stuff. And just help us show your love through our actions.
Yes.
And our words. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up the children, Lord, children of this church, the young adults of this church,
yes,
and our children,
yes,
our grandchildren,
yes,
the children of the world, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I just pray for their protection, Lord. I just pray as the adults seek to learn about you and grow, Lord God, that the difficulties they may be experiencing in their homes, Lord, that you would reach in and help them, Lord.
Yes.
They're so young and,
yes,
and starting out, and if there's anything we can do, Lord, the church,
yes,
that they would come and come to us, Lord, that we would be able to help them to grow in their faith, and just to help this community, Lord God, so that our future, these children, Lord, would be a blessing, would be protected, and would turn this world around, Lord.
Yes.
I'm praying for a great and mighty revival, Lord.
Jesus,
when you
name.
Come back, I just pray that we will see our children grow,
yes,
into
God,
productive children who love you, Lord,
yes,
and just in a great and mighty way, you will use them to turn this world around, Lord God, and help us in whatever we can do to help these children, Lord, to really look at them, Lord, as our future, and really pour our lives into them in any way that we can. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Father, I just want to pray for Daddy.
Yeah.
We had another tough week. She spent 3 days in bed again. Lord, not just for her, but for all the spouses that are hurting, that just things aren't going the way that we've expected them to go. Lord, I just pray that you strengthen those of us that are strong, and that we can help to lighten the burden of those that are weak.
Yes.
Minister through us to those that we love. Lord, I pray that you would show your heart through each one of us as we share that love. It says that in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us.
Yes.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Father, I lift up my son Hunter to you right now, who is still in the hospital, Lord, and I see that he is really struggling with what the world refers to as powerlessness over his illness and circumstances, but, you know, we know, Lord, that really it's just a lack of understanding of your sovereignty and a lack of understanding that you are in control, Lord, and that you have a plan for us, and Lord, so I just lift him up to you and ask that you give him that peace, Lord, and that you reveal yourself to him so that he can see that it's okay, that you've got it, that you're in control, Lord. And for all those people out there who are suffering from and tormented by their anxiety and their fears, Lord, just ask that you just wrap your loving arms around them and just, you know, extend yourself to them. Just let them see that you've got this, and it's okay. And that perfect love casts out all fear. And that we have nothing to worry about, Lord. Just give him that peace that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name.
Let's go.
Thank you, Lord.
We lift up people around us that are ill, even Neely and Dara, and just ask that you would heal their bodies, Lord, and help their children be sensitive to them being sick, give them the rest that they need, and help them to recoup, spring back, and just minister to them at this time.
And Lord God, we lift up all of these individuals that are going through this bad, bad storm, you know, this snowstorm. That your glory and power and wisdom be in each individual, that they will work together to help them get through this devastation with no injuries, no fatalities, or anything like that. Just give them peace that they know they can get through it because you are with them.
Is there anyone else who would like to pray?
Father, I think I sometimes feel like I'm above my head. And I remember each and every one of us has that opportunity to feel that same way, that whether they be kids or adults or how old they get, they still have those days when they wake up and they feel like they're in darkness and the shadow is covering them over and they're fearful of what might happen. And I remind you all to just look up for the light of Jesus is shining there and waiting for you to just find him and realize how much powerful he is to control the things that are happening in your life. And if you trust in him, he will lead you out of the darkness and into the light. Remember him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we just lift up Tamma Lynn and her eye surgery too as I'm thinking of her. Lord God. Just speed up that healing, Lord. I pray that you'd help her to rest, Lord. And just to obey the doctor's instructions, Lord. And Lord, for those families who I don't see here this morning, Lord, who are sick, Lord, I just pray again that you just heal those up, Lord God, and know which ones I'm thinking about. Lord, I do pray right now as they're having that church service, Lord, out there again with you. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Work in their hearts, Lord, and in the adults' hearts too, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord. Work in their hearts that they would not be a product of this world, but a product of your heart and your word and your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and that carry that forth the next generation, Lord God. Lord, I pray just for each person, like people are praying, Lord God, that are here hurting, broken, that you would meet them, Lord God, right where they're at. Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, Lord God, who gives us hope, who gives us peace in the storm, Lord, who gives us healing, and who gives us a future, Lord God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, Lord God. Would help us to live God-honoring, holy lives before you, to show a world that this power we have is not of men, but it's from you. Mm-hmm. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, you guys. You can hit the lights. I'm not sure if this mic is on or batteries or whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
Am
I on now?
Yes, sure.
Push it up.
New technology, isn't it green? Okay, well, we're not going to have the normal announcements because I'm not going to be teaching this morning. Anybody cheers? I'm trying hard not to rebuke you. But I wanted to take a minute and just read a scripture and then pray over our brother Josh, who's going to be sharing the word today, so it's really exciting. And, you know, again, as you think of the kids, you know, even right now during the service and whatnot, it was really cool. It was very cold out there. You wonder why we're missing about 20 people. You know, as I'm looking around here, how are we missing like 20, 30 people?
Right.
Well, anyway, we're missing about... Anyway, there's a lot of folks out there that were, we had the youth camping trip. There's a lot of adults out there that are blessing them. And so let me just tell you, they were having a great time. And it was wonderful. It was encouraging. But it was very, very cold. And very, very windy. And very, very wet, I just want to say. For those who aren't camping experienced like myself, you find out that certain things you should and shouldn't do in a tent. Anyway, they also leak. I didn't know that. But anyway, but regardless, they're having a blessed time. In fact, last night, you know, we just asked the kids, hey, do you guys want to tap? I mean, is it you guys done? Would you like to go home, just go back, get warm, you know, and you could either do that or we can have the church service. You know, Nate went out there to lead worship and Anthony's going to bring the word and Amanda, Panda, and Josh are out there shepherding them and helping to shepherding them. And every one of the kids said, no, we always told them it was going to get down into like the 30s is what we were told. Wind gusts of 40 miles an hour. You know, do you want to have the church service? Do you want to do that? And still, yeah, every single one of them wanted to. So being the brave man that your pastor here was, I got to go home and stand on a warm, cozy bed. But praise the Lord, he gets us out of our beds and here this morning. So Josh, would you come up here? Can I just take a minute to pray for you? I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to pray over you. So no pressure. Scripture this morning, I'm just going to read is for you this morning, is from Luke chapter 4, 18:19, as good brother gave me a word this morning. Just feel like the Lord would have it for you. And so let's pray, okay? It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Father God, I just pray for my friend Josh. Lord, what a blessing he's been. He is to this body, Lord God, to me personally, and to so many others here, Lord. I just ask right now that you would teach him, that you would give him the words to say, Lord God. It is not easy getting up here, Lord. And so scary, but Lord, I thank you that your Spirit is upon him. And so I ask that you would focus his eyes, focus his thoughts, focus his heart, Lord God, that right now, in Jesus' name, you would bring us the word that we need to hear through him, Lord God. That it certainly would be not by his might or by his own power, but by your Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And so, Lord, give us ears to receive and hearts to be open to whatever you want to speak to us personally. So we ask that you do this and you would anoint Josh for this time in your precious and holy name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And we'll get one to you. Anybody need a Bible? Okay, back there. All right. Anybody else?
Okay, good morning. Can everybody hear me? All right. I, too, like Deb, didn't want to come this morning, but not because it was cold. I didn't want to talk in front of everybody. It is so hard for me to do this. But, again, I come to you just as a student, comparing notes with you guys. You know, I'm not an expert in the scriptures. I just trust the Lord and love the Lord. And so I just pray that you can glean whatever's good that I say, whatever's bad or misrepresents the Lord's will, that you just cast away. You know, Amy and I were doing the share Jesus without fear, go figure. It's just something I have a lot of fear with, it, just sharing in public. And I'm reminded of the Lord, you know, how he uses people like me that have fear. You know, you think of Moses, we were talking about Moses in the share Jesus without fear class. He's like, no, just use Aaron. You know, he speaks better. He speaks well. You know, the Lord wanted Moses. And I just looked throughout the Bible how the Lord's used people. You have your Gideons, you know, you have your Moses, you have David, you have the disciples. You know, he takes those that are weak to make them strong. And so I'm very weak today, you know, and just reminded that, you know, he wants to use you. He even wants to use Amy, you know, over there. And, you know, it's just he wants us to share. Don't wait for the next person, you know, or someone that can speak better or knows the scripture better. You know, just surrender to the Lord and ask him, Lord, what's your will in my life? The topic I'm going to address today, I feel very unqualified to talk about, but yet, you know, I was searching, I was like, Lord, do you really want me to talk about this? And he just kept pressing on my heart to talk about it. And if I had to give it just a title, it would be When Faith is Tested. And boy, you know, I think, have any of us here ever suffered, had pain, had heartbreak? You know, I think we would all raise our hands that we've experienced something like, if not, you will. You know, and I think, the way the times are, I heard this thing on Moody Bible Radio about a farmer, and you know, a lot of farmers have these lands of crops, and you just see miles and miles of distance, because a lot of it's flat land, and even with us out on the beach, you know, we're sitting on the beach, you can see a storm miles away, and it looks beautiful, it looks powerful, but it's miles away, but you see it's coming, and I think with us, too, there is a storm that will be coming to us, and I want us to have some of that preventative maintenance, you know, and even for some of us that have suffered in the past, I hope this can even be a healing balm that can be applied to some of those hurts and scars. So we're going to start in James 1. And again, the funny thing is here, this is my life. I'll give you a little behind the curtain scene. I'm talking about when faith is tested, and this morning I can't find my hoodie. I'm getting all anxious, you know. Hey, where'd you put it? You know, I'm such a hypocrite. You know, it's, I'm going to give the charge, you know, let's be strong. And here I'm getting all anxious about something so minuscule, so small. And it's my life. And the Lord is constantly teaching me. Whenever I come up here, you know, I think last time I talked about maybe faith, you know. And here I had left my notes at home. You know, it's just my life. I don't like coming up here because it's always a trial and a test and something that I have to go through and I fail and then I have to confess. So this morning was one of those times. All right. Can someone with the NIV read James 1 all the way, let's go all the way up to 2. Let me have a volunteer.
Chapter
2? No, verse 1, 1 through 2. Or chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, sorry.
James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
Okay, let's stop there. You know, in mine it says, count it all joy. And to me, that word means to evaluate. You know, it's like Darren said, you know, we can wear the happy face and we can... But the inside, we are suffering. We are going through heartache, heartbreak, you know. And that's not what, it's not this fake joy that we're supposed to have on us. You know, it's not like Job lost everything, you know, possessions and family, friends. He wasn't high-fiving everybody, oh, I'm happy. You know, that's not the joy we're talking about. And that word count means to evaluate. At work, oftentimes I have to drill into these stainless steel hoods that cost about like $20,000 or more than that. I just don't go in with my drill and just pop a hole. I have to look at this hood and evaluate, okay, where's the right hole? Where's the perfect place? And I think with that count it all joy, we have to say, Lord, what are you doing here? You know, am I going to trust you through this? I need help through this. It's not the why me kind of question we ask. It's like, Lord, what are you doing here? We have to evaluate what's going on. We have to remember the trials that we've been through in the past that the Lord's brought us through. And we have to put that trust that he's going to bring us through this next trial. And so I think it's just awesome that, that you know, that joy is so hard. But this life is so short. With that joy, if we can go to Hebrews 12:2. Says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I just love the Lord. I love that Jesus has gone through it all before us, you know, and yet he found that joy. He knew that joy. The perfect example is I was looking at some pictures of the kids the other day. We have one of those digital frames that, you know, just switches. I'm like, a year has gone by. I'm looking at them, and I look at them now. They've grown up so fast. Things are just so fast. This life down here is so fast. It is like a vapor. And if we can keep that in mind, that the joy that we are going to have on the other side is forever. You know, these trials, we're going to look back. They're going to look so small and so tiny. Now, that's not to minimize how hard it is to go through. You know, that's why we have the story of Job. But we are going to look back. We can find joy in the Lord. I remember when Amy, before she came to Christ, she was just tormented. You know, the same with me. And just had desperation and trial after trial. And there was no joy, there was no hope. You know, praise the Lord that when we go through trials, that we are able to have hope and joy. This is going to end. This isn't forever. And it's just for a little moment in time. I take great hope and encouragement from that. And so it just, Jesus went through it. He died on the cross. He took all of our sins, and yet he found joy knowing what his mission was, what his purpose was, and that there, his God, or his Father in heaven, he was soon going to be there. And so it's just a reminder of the, of when these trials come. How do you find joy? It's not fake. You know, it's not the smiley face. It's knowing that the Lord's going to pull you through it, in my opinion. And speaking of Job, we just read through the Bible, or through the book of Job with the children, with the kids, about a week ago. And reading it with the kids, it's hard to explain what's going on. Like, oh no, did I make a mistake here? You know, because I'm trying to explain everything that's happening. And they're asking, well, why? Why does Job have to go through this? You know, he's a righteous man. And they have that perplexed look on their face. And so do I, you know. And the simplest answer I could come up with is that, you know, Satan, he is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I just think of, sometimes I get so distracted by the things of this world, it almost becomes kind of like a playground for me. You know, there are great blessings that I take joy in, you know, having a wife and my children, you know, I love them. But I get distracted, and I forget how much of a battleground that we are living in, you know, this enemy is out there to take us. And I was thinking, what did he want from Job? You know, what was his main goal? You know, wasn't his goal that he took his kids away? You think that would be enough? It wasn't his goal to take all of his land and possessions away. You would think it would be enough that he took Job's friends away and where they're accusing him instead of encouraging him. You know, what Satan wanted was Job's faith. That's what he was contending for. You know, Charles Spurgeon said that, you know, that's the one thing the enemy wants. He will shoot every arrow at that spot to take your faith away. And so, as Adam was either read when he said, when you meet trials of various kinds. Can someone read James 1, 2 in the King James? Does anybody have a King James here? Mary's not here today. I don't know if anybody has that. Go ahead, Kelly, if you can.
Verse 2?
Verse 2, yes.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
Yes. Is that King James?
Yeah.
Okay, one of them is temptations. I like that. I was reading John Corson, and that word trials and temptation in the Greek, exact same word. You know, how often do we find when we are in a huge trial of our life, temptation also comes in, trying to rip our belief, us questioning the Lord as to why is this happening to me? I don't understand. And so the enemy, just like with Job, wants to steal our faith. He's going to throw those temptations. He's going to throw those question marks in our walk. And I just think with Jesus, where was that? Luke, or let's go to Matthew 4:11. We're all over. Usually I try to have an anchor verse here, but I think we're going to be all over today.
Matthew what?
4:11. Well, actually, it's just going to be most of chapter 4. So, but remember, Jesus, here he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, one thing I realize when I read things, I don't empathize as much because I'm just reading it. You know, I haven't experienced, but man, I go like a, you know, by the time I get lunch, I'm famished. I'm ready to eat. You know, I don't feel like I can work as fast. And here, Jesus is fasting 40 days and 40 nights. So he's famished. You know, and here, when does the enemy come? At this moment. He starts telling him all these things. Let's see. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, we're at 4:1, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, how often does that happen to us, you know, at our weakest moments, the tempter comes. And I'm preaching to myself here because I'm so weak in this area. You know, my wife is a whole lot stronger. She's always reminding me, we got to trust the Lord. You know, he's pulled us through this. Look at all the things he's brought us through. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so this dialogue goes on. And even Satan, you know, hear Jesus saying, for it is written. Satan comes back, well, for it is written, you know, such and such this. And so to me, I love how Jesus responded. Here the tempter comes. He goes to the scripture. He goes to the word of God, for it is written. You know, when these trials come, I encourage you to be strong in the word of God, to get on your knees and cry out, you know, and allow and say, for it is written. You know, the Lord loved me. He's not going to forsake me. You know, one of the hardest things for me to understand is, in a way, why do we have trials? I know the Lord allows it, you know, but they are so hard. And I was thinking with faith, you know, faith is trusting in the Lord. Now, you can't trust in something unless there comes a time in your life where you have to trust in something, or there would be no trust. And I was just thinking, with trials, the Lord uses that to grow us, to make us stronger. When Amy and I were first married, I had just a terrible job. We barely made any money. Here we were trying to follow the Lord. We know you wanted us to be married. We know you're taking care of us here. But we couldn't take care of any of our finances. Looking back, it's little to me now because that's every year for us now. You know, but at the time, it was just, I don't know what to do, you know. And Lord, you know, just talk about a selfish kind of look, but we all go through it. You know, that's your biggest problem, Josh, is not knowing, you know, you might not be able to get that candy bar you want, you know, kind of thing. And but those little things each time, you know, it teaches me to grow. It taught me to rely and trust in the Lord. So those trials, we don't like them, but they are so useful. You know, it puts our faith into practice. And without that, without those trials, what faith do we really have? You know, what trust do we really have that when we say, God, you are everything to us, Lord, you are our provider. You know, you are with us. And so when those trials come, just remember that. We're going to head back to James here. If anybody has anything to say, too, just feel free to interject.
You know, do you mind if I...
But Darren.
Thanks, sorry. you asked. Okay. You know, it's interesting, like at the end of Matthew, you know that Matthew verse when it says the devil left him and the angels came and attended him.
Yeah.
You know, two things that made me think about, and then there's another, that, you know, Scripture says, you know, stand firm, you know, and the devil will flee. Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. So he's going to flee.
Later on, but...
Oh, sorry, dude.
No,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I like it.
But there's also a scripture at the end of Luke when it says that same temptation of Jesus in 4:13 where it says, you know, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just thinking about that, you know, how God is looking at each one of those trials you're talking about as a way to help us to experience him,
mm-hmm.
like personally, to build our faith personally. And the enemy is looking for that same opportunity to tear down. And so who are you going to... Are you going to focus in on the tear down and how terrible things are? Or do we focus in like what you're saying? Like, this is an opportunity that God is using to help me to learn to trust him personally, experience himself.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the way I look at it too is, you know, like the Lord tests us where versus Satan tempts us, you know, and so we have that choice to make whether we want to fall into that trap and forget everything that the Lord's taught us and to go down that path, which is just emptiness, you know. And I just think of, you know, it's such a battle. I mean, he wants our faith. That's all he wants. He wants to take that, rip it right from us. And again, a reminder to myself, because I forget, you know, reading these things, sometimes I just have the habit of reading real fast and saying amen to it, and then a real trial comes, and I forget, you know, and I go in that self-pity, and that mode of despair. And so this is just a good reminder for me that, you know, let's pass that test. You know, when those things come, you know, let's remember who the Lord is. Let's see, where was I here? All right. Meet trials of various kinds. We know the testing of your faith, we're back in James, produces steadfastness. If I can have a few people look up some scriptures here. Let's go, if someone can do 2 Timothy 3:12. Someone can read Romans 8:18.
What was the Romans one?
8:18. And then Romans 5, 3 through 5. Okay, whoever has 2 Timothy, go ahead. Yes.
Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Yes, and you know, these trials will come up like that in James. When you meet trials, you know, we always say it's not if, it's when. And that's part of the walk that we have. Like I said, this is a battleground, you know. In one way, what do we expect? You know, when we're in a battleground, there is a war that is raging. You know, oftentimes we can't see the big picture. You know, that's one thing I realized right away in my walk with the Lord. Is I think I see everything, you know, I try to do things in a logical way, and I think I have the whole picture in front of me. And then Amy and I were talking, she likes art, you know, she reminded me of this art technique called pointillism. And what you have, there's a famous one, I think, by Georges Seurat, he's a French man, it's called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island. I don't know how to pronounce the French name to it, but what he used that technique. And so when you're standing a good distance from this picture, it looks awesome. You know, there's people lying on in a park, just, you know, having a great day, picnicking, and it's sunny. And, you know, as you step closer to that picture, and you get closer and closer, it starts to get blurry. And then when you're right up in front of that picture, it's just all little dots. You know, and that's what that technique is. You use dots to make this picture. So often I realize, man, I am just looking at one little dot, you know, here in my life, and having to trust the Lord that He sees the whole picture. He knows what's going on. You know, that faith is something is I can't see the whole thing. And so when Amy showed me that picture online, you know, it was amazing. It's all little tiny dots, you know. And so to me, it's just trust the Lord. That's what that faith is. You know, we're seeing one little part of the whole thing, you know. And it's just, to me, it was just amazing. When you look up close and it's just full of dots. It didn't even look like anything. And so, you know, it's just that full trust and reliance on the Lord. Okay, who had Romans 8:18?
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed from us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation is subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God.
Yes, and here it's the glory is not going to compare to any of our sufferings. You know, again, our hope isn't here. Our possessions aren't here. We're waiting to be with the Lord. You know, right now He's testing us. He's growing us. But again, when we look back, those sufferings won't compare to any of the glory that we are in. I just think it's so encouraging to us, you know, when we're going through those trials, is that this is... the suffering is not going to compare to the glory of the Lord, you know, when we're with Him. You know, I've lost people, you know, that have died in my life, and it was just so hard, and the suffering was so intense because, you know, it was, sometimes I have a hard time knowing where to place these things. You know, I don't fully understand. And again, when Amy showed me that picture, you know, it's like, I don't have to understand the grand scheme. I just have to understand that the Lord is Lord of all of it, you know, and I just have to trust Him. Now, that doesn't mean we can't talk to the Lord or be the stoic thing like, okay, you know, I don't understand the picture, I'm going to be strong. And no, He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to cry out to Him. I look at the dialogue that Job had with the Lord. You know, it's amazing. Now, sometimes I think, you know, rather than ask the why me is, Lord, what are you doing? I think He can answer us.
Right.
Through that, much easier than the why. If we turn to Job, I think it's 38. It's a long one, so we're not going to read all of it. But it kind of amazed me how the Lord responded to Job.
Job what?
38, I'm pretty sure.
8:38?
Let me see. Yeah, 38. What did you say?
Oh, just telling me 38.
We'll just read a little bit of it. So here Job's been having this dialogue with his friends and also a dialogue with the Lord. And I think when we ask the Lord the why, this is the response we will get. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkness counseled by words without knowledge? Dressed for action like a man, I will question you and make it known, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding who determined its measurements. Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when it made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band?" So it goes on, like, you know, Job, you know, can you tell me how all this was done? You know, do you understand? Did you lay the foundations of the earth, the cornerstone? Did you make the seas not go this far over into the land? And so I think when we ask the Lord the why, you know, what His response is going to be to us. You know, who are you, you know, in a way? Now, when we ask the what, Lord, what are you doing here? Show me. That's that evaluating part of it. You know, Father, you know, just make me stronger. You know, ask me for help and understanding the reasons why He might be having you go through this. You know, our testimonies are so powerful. I've used my testimony more in sharing the Lord with others than anything else, because it's something I've gone through that He changed me. And again, I think, you know, we can ask the Lord more of, Lord, please help us. You know, I don't understand. Give us understanding. And James, it talks about that. If we go back to James, down in verse 9 of 1, or actually, no, sorry, in verse 5 of 1. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, sometimes we need a great amount of wisdom going through a trial or a struggle that we're in. Sometimes I don't understand which direction to go in, what's the best way, you know, and the options. And sometimes you just have to pray to the Lord, give me wisdom on this, how to walk through this. And he will give it to you. He's never failed me in any trial or any suffering I've ever gone through. I didn't like it at all. I whined a lot, you know, but he's never failed me in that. And it's just another encouragement just to trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Josh, can I ask you a quick question?
Oh, no.
you have gone through a lot of trials. You just said you didn't like them, which that's understandable. I don't know if most of us don't. But I just want you to answer honestly, yes, sir. But if you really look at it, now that you're standing back from the picture, okay, not in the midst of all the dots and confusion where you can't see it, but I know you've gone through some severely hurtful times, but in looking back, like, can you now say, now that you've gone through it and the Lord is taking you out to the other side?
Oh, yeah.
Can you now say that, Lord, although I didn't like it, but I can see the benefit, why, and I'm actually, thank you for a lot. I mean, can you do that, or is that not? I just want to know honestly.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes. I look back, and we were just talking, you know, reading all this, and it forces you to look back at those trials and those hard times. And looking back, the Lord, I think of Paul. You know, here the Lord comes. Paul is persecuting the church. He has some great position. Things are going great, and he just knocks him down to the ground. You know, and then he was blinded. And all of these things, and he had to trust in the Lord and listen to the Lord. And for me, you know, in my early walk with the Lord, I had a lot of pride. You know, I just did. I decided, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. And, you know, and in my mind, because nobody else does. And it was a prideful thing where it could have been a great thing to do. I got up on my religious high horse, you know, and then the Lord used these trials in my life to slowly knock me down. He did it gently, but during the time he didn't feel it gentle, but looking back, he could have done it a whole lot harder in a whole lot different ways. And looking back at that, I'm so happy who I am in the Lord today, you know, from those trials. And I still have a whole long way to go, you know, but looking back at those and seeing how the Lord's used those trials in my life to make me, later we're going to talk about a jar of clay, you know, just an empty vessel without him. I am nothing without him. There is no value to me except for the love that Christ has for me and that he died for my sins. That's where all my value is found now. Before it was in things I did, in the way I thought, or what kind of argument can I try to get into to win, and all those are gone. I don't care about any of those things anymore. And that's the same, you know, I just think of Paul, you know, boy, oh boy, he now wants to be foolish rather than wise in man's eyes, you know, where it was almost like, I'm a madman, you know, but it's Christ in me who is everything to me. And so, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. It talks about that. But anyway, I hope that answers your question. Those trials have, you know what, it's hard to say, but it's true. I am thankful for them.
I know.
It's hard to talk about this today because I'm thinking, okay, as soon as I leave church today, what trial am I going to be facing? You know, the hoodie was bad enough this morning, but what's next? You know, so
it's going
to
be lunch.
Yeah, it's going to be lunch. But I always, it's just always so hard for me to talk about these things that I feel like, oh, am I going to pass the test that's coming. All right, 2 Corinthians, or as we now know, 2 Corinthians. As far as I know with that one. But okay, can someone read verse 7 of 4?
Verse 7 of 4.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Did you say you were, Amy?
But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us.
So again, you know, for jars of clay, we can realize that there is nothing in us that is special except that Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit in us. you know, that jars of clay. I think it was either it's one of the commentary books that you've given me, and it was basically everyone at that time had a jar of clay in their house. You know, it was, you know, they break, it just shatters. You know, there's nothing special to a jar of clay. You know, except that the Lord can fill that with something. Mm. And so those trials, to me, you know, is sometimes the Lord's pouring into our life, into that jar of clay. And it's, and well, I like it because then we can never take into the glory. You know, look at us. We are just clay. All the glory, all the recognition is the Lord. It's all His power. It's all His doing. You know, the strength of my faith only comes from Him. I can't muster up enough faith on Josh's own will to go through trials. I can't muster up enough faith to say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to trust in you. That comes from Him. That's His power in this empty vessel here. And so I love that. We don't have to go back to James, but talk about being steadfast. That steadfast is hard-pressed. It's pressure, you know, and it's also patience. So here, another thing I lack is I get anxious really quick, you know. Again, whenever I'm up here, I think I'm always airing my dirty laundry to you, everybody. You know, it's like, this is who Josh is. This Amy knows the real Josh, okay? You know, I get anxious about so many things. And so, you know, even though I feel the pressure and I can try to be that steadfast, I lack the patience of trying to understand. You know, and to me, that's where I make my biggest mistakes, is when I lack the patience through the trials too. You know, of just saying, taking them back, doing that evaluation again. Stepping back and looking at it and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to practice patience here. I'm going to allow you to do the work in me that you want to do. I don't see it clearly. I don't understand it, but I'm going to practice patience here. You know, again, everybody knows that how a diamond is formed, you know, under extreme pressure. And again, you know, I think with those trials, I look at me and under those extreme pressures, the Lord has been making something beautiful through all those things, you know, in my life. And I'm thankful for it. Okay, so but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God. So all is His. There's nothing that is ours that is valuable. And then here Paul goes on, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. And I was thinking, one of the songs I always like, and I'm not dissing the song, but Persecuted, Not Abandoned. It's a very peppy, upbeat song, you know, and I'm looking here. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. So that perplexed is, there's despair all around you, but we're not going to be driven to that because the Lord will pull us out. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And when I was reading this, I'm almost looking at it as like a pep talk, you know, before, it's like, we're not crushed, you know. It's not this happy, peppy song. It's like, man, if it's not for the Lord, I am done. I'm toast. You know, put a fork in it. And it's just, without the Lord, that's who I am. But the Lord comes and He pulls us up out of these things. That word struck down. Darren, what was that book that you handed out? The shepherd that wrote he was a shepherd and wrote a book about shepherding?
Yes, yes. Yes. Stop. Yes.
I need to ask a question for now.
Shepherds look at Psalm 23.
Yes, I can never remember the title. Yes, so
we still have some very one.
And I love it. That word cast down is basically, you know, the sheep, when it was cast down, it would be up on its feet, and there's nothing you can do. You know, it'd have to be turned back over. And so often I've been like that, you know, just looking up. I can't do anything, and I'm still getting hit. I can't even defend myself. You know, that's what that struck down is. There's no defense, and yet the enemy's still wailing on you, still hitting you. And it's only the Lord that can set you back upright.
That's right.
And so often I have found myself struck down because, you know what, I am a sheep. You know, I'm just silly. I wander. I complain and all these things. And I find myself just cast down. And then it says, but not destroyed. And that's where the Lord, you know, He allows these trials in our life. They're not going to destroy me. They're not going to destroy my faith. You know, He's going to pull me back up, set me upright. And so I just thought, that was awesome. You know, this is like a pep talk. Paul, to me, is giving. You know, look what his life. And then he goes on in that same, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And looking back at my trials, you know, in a way, those are scars on my life, you know, but I get to share those things that that because Jesus died, you know, for me and has taken all my sin and these trials that I have, it's like I'm dead. You know, without the Lord, I am just dead. And it's He that lives in me. And so that power, you know, here's this jar of clay, but that power can be manifested through this vessel, this earthly vessel. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. You know, again, a battlefield. I mean, he just wants to destroy us. You know, that's all the enemy wants. But, you know, in our weaknesses, in our hardest times, we can glorify the Lord, and he can shine through us so all can see. You know, yes, Sue?
I think here he's talking about the when we die to ourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we die to, I want my way in this trial. I want my answer. I want my comforts met. I want me. When we die to that, then Jesus lives in us. You know, when we're able to put ourselves aside, then Jesus shines through and others mm-hmm. see Jesus.
That's right.
Instead of ourselves.
Yeah. And to me, you know, again, a lot of those trials, I realized they put the old Josh to death, you know, and you learn to die to yourself, you know, to let the Lord shine through. And Paul, to me, is a perfect example. You know, you look at what he gave up in his life. You know, it's like, I think of Paul, you know, he had so much suffering, and he wanted, all these letters we read that were from him, you know, they would have been written if he got to go to the places he wanted to go. You know, I want to come to you, but I can't, I'm imprisoned. You know, I'm on house arrest. And so here, I don't know if Paul saw that big picture, that here today that we were going to be reading all his letters that he sent. You think the Lord had a plan in that? I think he did. You know, now I don't think Paul was happy about not being able to go to where he wanted or felt like he should go, but he did find contentment in it. You know, I think we don't have to, I think we always risk of being phony or fake, you know, where that's not what the Lord's asking us to be. You know, he's just saying, trust me, be content and what's going through here. You know, I think in the Sharing Jesus class, you know, I forget the guy's name, but he was basically, you know, there's some that are that water, there's some that plant the seed. You know, there's so many things that we don't see from our life that have affected others. You know, we don't see it. And, you know, honestly, I'm kind of happy about that, at least for me, because it doesn't puff me up at all a lot of times. You know, I just look at Paul here in prison and all these trials, and now we get to read about these things to strengthen us through our trials that we go through, to give us encouragement, to give us hope. You know, you look at the heroes of the faith. You know, when you think of heroes, you think of, like, you know, they rescued someone from a burning building. They you know, smashed down this wall. Our heroes of the faith died for Jesus. You know, they died for the kingdom of God. And, you know, so not only did they suffer, but you got to think about the loved ones that were left that weren't part of those heroes of the faith. You know, they suffered too and went through great trials. But that's our heroes. Those are who we look to. And I love that we get to look back at this and say, you know what, they did it. We can do it through Christ Jesus.
It reminds me of when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter called out, you know, that's a ghost. And he says, no, it's me. And he says, well, if it's you, then I want to walk too. And he starts walking on the water, but then that little bit of doubt, a little bit of looked back and started thinking. Strong trust is just something that I've been really dealing with God too, and just how powerful that really is. That little bit of doubt that really does change the path.
And it just take you right off course so mm-hmm. easily, mm-hmm. you know. And that's why my encouragement is, you know, for me having four kids, you know, working full time, you know. And it's a terrible excuse, but it's my excuse. I don't get into the Word as much as I should or as I used to, you know. And then I realize, you know, the trials come, and I'm kind of a little weak. I'm kind of a little fragile, you know. And I've noticed that. But when I'm in the Word and the trials come, yeah. I'm stronger. In 2 Corinthians 6:4-10, we'll go there. What time is it? Okay. Let me see. I might be going the wrong place here.
6:4.
Chapter 6. Yep, 6:4. Oh, sorry. Chapter 6. I don't know why I messed that up today for you guys. 6. Actually, we won't read the whole thing here. Let's just go right to 6. verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7. By truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. You know, one of my favorite things, and Darren always knows it, is the mighty men of David. You know, you look at these guys, they were awesome in battle. They said they can use the sling and their right hand is as good as their left hand. You know, that stuff takes practice. That's training. You know, I'm right-handed, my left hand, it's like switching the guitar around and trying to play that way. I couldn't do that. David's mighty men could, you know, but I want to get there in the Lord with the weapons of righteousness. You know, when we can train for those things, a lot of those trials bring those weapons. You know what? I have way more weapons in my arsenal than I did when I first came to the Lord to deal with trials. Amen. And the more I train, the more I read His Word, the more I surrender, and like Sue said, the more I die to myself, the more weapons of righteousness I have for the right hand and for the left. I think that was just so awesome. Paul, when I read that, I'm like, boom, went straight back to David's mighty men, you know. And it's such a battle. And the way we get strong is just pouring into His Word. You know, that's why I always love Darren. You know, that's why he gives you so much material to learn and to read. You know, like he's giving me commentaries, you know, that I've just gleaned so much from. And he doesn't hold that word for himself and have his own little corner of the market. You know, I'm the pastor and I'm the only one with the knowledge. You know, He wants each one of us to go forward and to run that race that's set before us and have the knowledge. And I just, you know, encourage you, everyone here, to just read the Word. Let God's Word just pour over you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, you know, so that those weapons become many and that you have many for the right and the left hand. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, 24.
Hey, Jack, on those steel hoods that you work on,
yes.
How many times do you measure before you drill a hole?
A whole lot. You know why? Because I made a mistake before, because I rushed, and it doesn't look pretty when you do. Because, you know, it's a flat steel. You can't, to put a plug in it is noticeable, you know. And, you measure, and you measure again, and then I take a marker, and then I look at it. Then I get my drill ready, look at it again, is this where I want it? Because you have to do about two or three holes at a time. And like I said, these people have spent so much money on it. And so, yeah, thanks, you know, it's that evaluating. It's just, okay. Instead of anxiously, you know, sometimes I just want to get the job done quick. I want to go home and want to see my family, you know. And usually that's when I make a mistake, you know, and is that rushing. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24, if someone can read that. I love this. This is Paul. This is what Paul's been through. Chapter 11, verse 24 of 2 Corinthians.
Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes.
All right, keep going. I'll tell you when to stop.
Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers, danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger for my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm.
To me, welcome to kingdom living, you know. And it's as we look back in our life, and for me, again, I don't want it, but I hope I can say the same things Paul has said. You know, look, I've gone hungry. I've been persecuted. I've done this and that. But you know what? I just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, from my Father, from my King. And and those trials, I love Paul. Look what those have done in his life. Look what the things that he got to accomplish and still accomplishes today. And, you know, I can't imagine going through all that, you know, but he did it. It was all for the kingdom. And as we go down into chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul talks about his weaknesses. I'll try to end this really quick here. So we'll go to chapter 12, 7. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh. You know, I think here, boy, Paul just knows how to turn it around and look at it from a completely different way. Mm-hmm. You know, these things that kept me from being prideful, you know, from being puffed up. You know, so often I've seen, and it's so sad in the church, you know, we want recognition so much. You know, it's that same pride that the enemy fell from heaven with. You know, it's pride. It is such a terrible thing. And here Paul turns his struggles and these things into this, you know what? It's kept me humble. You know, it's kept me relying on Jesus. And that thorn, you know, when I think of a thorn is so small. That thorn is, in the Greek, it's an 18-inch, like, tent stake. And it's what what are they called, the Bedouin? Is that the right name? You know, out in the desert, that's the stakes they would use to hold their tents down. And they just this huge amount of wind. You know, I was watching the wind Friday night just whipping the trees around, you know, and to be anchored like that. And sometimes, you know, we can turn the table around on the enemy, you know, turn the table around on the struggle and say, you know what, this is 18-inch stake that just pierced me. But we can do that and say, it's good, but it's going to hold me down in the toughest of trials, in the toughest of winds. You know, that stake that has caused me so much grief, caused me so much pain, caused me so much hurt, is the very thing that's going to keep me steadfast, hard-pressed, under all the pressure, and keep me running that race that the Lord has for me. You know, without those tent stakes, what holds us down? Again, without trials, what is faith? You know, without trials, how do we trust? And so to me, it was amazing. I think Lydia was walking on the beach one morning and stepped on a sand spur, you know, and she freezes, you know, she can't move. And at that moment in time, every distraction, the beauty of the beach, the people, you know, us walking past her, stopped. She didn't care about any of those things anymore. It was, I just want to get this storm out. You know, and I think so often with trials, it has a way of calming everything around us. All of a sudden, all these things don't care as much to us as they once did. And now we're focusing on the Lord. You know, we're focusing on that thing that's causing us pain and dealing with it. And it was just funny, you know. And then took the thorn out of her foot, you know. She walked, everything was back to normal. And there'll be another stance for Lydia's life. I know there will, you know, but hopefully she learns that, you know, she can trust the Lord. And at those moment times, you get down on your knees, you know, and it causes you to really focus on the things that are at hand. And so with Paul, it was the same thing. Thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. And that harass is like, it's basically, it's like a fist hitting you. You know, it's just wailing on you. It's very violent, that harassment Paul was facing from this thorn that was given to him. Some of us have thorns in our life that, you know, that just bother us, that why do I have it? It causes so much stress and distress and despair. And I like what Paul did. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So, you know, here I don't see Paul saying, why me, going into the self-pity. You know, but he's talking to the Lord. Lord, can you please take this from me? The Lord doesn't mind us asking him, you know, can you take this from me? Lord, I don't want it in my life. It's slowing me down, or whatever it is. He doesn't mind us asking. But then I like this. But then the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul stops asking. You know, I think it's okay to ask the Lord what's going on here. You know, I don't fully understand once again. And then when he answers you, you stop. You know, you've gotten the mission. The Lord's told you what he's doing here, and you go forward. And so then now, Paul, here he goes. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness. Talk about joy. You know, turning the tables once again, more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again, I just want to be content with where the Lord has me. It's the hardest struggle for me is to find that contentment in things that are hard to go through. But, you know, with Paul, he found joy in it. Yes, Mark?
You know, when you were saying, what's going on? That is a question that God will answer. If you go to Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. And that means the teachings of this book. And he does reveal that to us. And when we go again to 1 Corinthians, it says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among us knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now we have revealed, not the spirit of the world, received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
He will and wants to reveal himself to us in these trials.
And I like it. And when the Lord spoke to Paul, he gladly received it. You know, okay, this is, I'm going to move forward. This is from the Lord, you know. I'm going to close with Isaiah 14, chapter 14, verse 12. I think I got this one from you, Darren, if you remember. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. This is talking about the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High, but you are brought down to Sheol, the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. And it's scary to say this about the enemy, but, you know, that word, stare at you is the gaze. It's almost like you're squinting your eyes at the enemy. When it's all said and done, as you look back, you know, you're looking down on him. And I love this. So those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? Is this the man that has caused so much havoc, has caused so much struggle? You know, we will look back one day and say, that's him? You know, now I'm scared to say it right now, you know, because he is an enemy. You know, he wants my faith. But one day we get to look back at that and we will squint our eyes. This is the man that caused all the trouble. This is him. You know, and I just think it's so awesome. I just want to close with that. You know, our struggles, our sufferings, our trials don't compare to the glory of God. It doesn't compare to the life that we're going to have with him everlasting. You know, again, watching the kids grow up so fast, so quick here, so fast down here. You know, stand firm. You know, practice patience. And just endure the pressure that this world puts on us. And did you have, I don't know if you were going to say anything.
Which is a good word. I'll say when you're all done. That's a good word.
But that's just my encouragement. It's an encouragement to me. You know, we are going to face trials. Some are going to be easy to come over, to conquer and overcome. Others are going to be the toughest things of our lives. But just remember that. One day we get to look back, nothing. They weren't anything. They were something now. But on that day, I just can't wait. Look back, you know, this is the enemy that's caused all the trouble in my life. This is the enemy that tried taking my faith. He's so small. So. Amen.
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 And that's a good word, isn't it? You know, and yeah, you can throw out your hands. And you know, one of the things that Josh says, you know, man, I always get so nervous when I get up here. Yeah, so do I. You know, and one of those things you feel is like, whenever I have to teach on something, it's like he stretches me and rips me apart, and then I have to confess it. But you know what? I want to encourage you. That's being real.
Yeah.
And that's why I love to hear Josh teach, because it's not done from being this mighty, important, theologically correct guy. You know, Josh, to be honest, before you went through all those trials, I don't think I would have liked you very much. Like a little snotty little know-it-all beneath you. But still cute, I probably wouldn't have said that. But anyway, but you know, we have Bible studies. You guys are welcome to this week. You know, one of the Bible studies last week was the men's group, and I was just talking. One of the guys was really awesome, and he opened up and he shared. You know, I appreciate being real, so don't ever let the enemy condemn you. That's what I want from us, from this church, from each one of us. I appreciate that. That's a beautiful thing, and one of the new families who started coming to the church just shared with us and said, you know, one of the reasons, you know, I felt, and I'm going to paraphrase it so I probably get it wrong, but it was such an encouragement to my heart. One of the reasons why we started coming to this church is you guys are so real, and when we hear these things, we hear these testimonies, you guys opening up and being honest and real, it makes me feel like this is a church that I could really be a part of.
And I was like, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for this body who desires to be humble and open and honest, that will show when we're hurting, when the scars happen, but also show how God has gotten us through. Mm-hmm. So as Josh was saying, someday we'll be able to look down, like on that Job 16 verse, which I never saw before, really, until today. The Lord just, wow. You know, we're just going to look and stare and just say, man, that's who caused us all that trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to close out in prayer. And just so you guys know, this Tuesday is the women's Bible study. We're going through the book of James. I said we, but you know what I meant. The women. At what time is that again, Lisa?
6:30 for fellowship, 7 we start.
6:30 for fellowship, yeah. 7 for, and what do you say to Debbie?
Please come.
Please come. That's how you say no to that. Yeah. And you know, Debbie, thank you for being honest about fighting, getting out of bed. Yes. Now that you're here, you're like, thank you, Lord. You know, that is being real, and that's what we need to hear.
I guarantee you a lot of people felt that way.
Probably so. Wednesday is youth at Manatee County Youth for Christ. You're all welcome. And then Thursday is the Share Jesus Without Fear Bible study. Do your homework. And then Friday is, I think, prayer and praise here at church at 7. Is that correct? Well, I'm looking for somebody. Yeah, there you go. Okay, great. Okay, let's take a minute and pray. And I want to pray specifically. Our sister Amberly saw on her way.
No, don't. I don't want people to think I'm crazy, but I swear I saw it.
Okay. All right.
I swear I saw a plane fall out of the sky on my way here.
Okay, well, nobody thinks you're crazy. We love you. So we're just going to pray, and if we saw something like that, you know, whatever, Lord, we just pray. Lord God, if we hear something like that on news later, Lord God, whatever that was that she saw fall out of the sky, Lord, if that didn't involve any human life, or maybe it was just a drone, or I don't know, Lord God, but you would just protect the people, Lord God, that you would just be with them right now, and their families, and whatever, Lord God, and we just want to pray for them and lift them up. Bless this body, Lord. Thank you for their realness, for their love for you, Lord God, for their willingness to humble themselves and to show their faults, but also to share in the victories of Jesus Christ. Help us to step out in faith and to trust you and to be actually thankful. Help me to get to that place, Lord, where I'm more thankful for my trials, Lord, and for the tribulations, knowing that you surely are working them for my good, and for each one of us, and for the group, and for others as well. We love you, and we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. God bless you guys.